So, Hare Krishna, I wish you a wonderful third full day of your Japa and Kirtan retreat. Today we will speak about a very, very important verse which will more or less be with us for the rest of the day. It's a verse which is well known, a verse in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us how to chant in a way that will make sure that we actually develop love for Krishna. It's a, you know, Trinada Pi Sunichina Shloka, but I hope to share a few important insights with you which might help your practice, might help to deepen your practice. So I hope you are all well and well rested. I really think we are doing pretty fine. Although I'm also noticing that it is now very important, because we have reached the middle of our Japa retreat, that you very sincerely think about applying the tools which you get, or the insights which you get, to your personal practice of Japa. For this, I really recommend to you one session which I feel has to, we have to be there. That is after the workshop, from 1 to 2 o'clock, group chanting in the community hall, and then, because we are approaching the 64 rounds day, I also recommend that you attend the optional. It's optional, but you know, one-hour group chanting led by Gaura Hari, and we still will see if it's under the tree or in the community hall. It's still manifesting. So, thank you. Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Iri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Iri Varadhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radhe.
Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravraja Kacharya Ashtadu Satasi Simaristi Vahingre Sila Ave Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Svandavati Vedanta Swami Diti Namini. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Bachari Nivase Sasanya Varya Spatyade Satarine. So, please let us pray. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine. Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivesesa Sunyavari Vaskatyane Sadamine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gobhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The verses of Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita have a very specific flow, and it's important to understand this flow in order to understand the positioning of the verses and their teachings. The preceding verse, the verse before the one which we discussed now, ended with a lamentation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his heart. You have invested your full potency in each individual holy name. But alas, alas, I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment for chanting your holy names. Now in this next verse now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will teach us how should we chant in order to develop this attachment. In fact, how should we chant to awaken our dormant love, which is there, but which is covered. I mean, we do have attachment, but it is covered. How do we uncover it? He said, O Swarup Damodar Goswami Ramananda Rai, now hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna.
Tinadapi sunichena taro iva sahishnuna amanina manadena ketaniya sadhari.
Please let us chant again.
Trinadapi sunichena taro iva sahishnuna amanina manadena ketaniya sadhari.
One who thinks himself to be lower than the grass, who's more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. The root cause of this unfortunate dodevam, this unfortunate situation that we don't have attachment to Krishna, is pratishta, or looking for one's self-aggrandizement. It's a form of pride, really, and a form of ego. So if you wish to cure this problem, you have to bomb the ego. This is a little American English. You have to annihilate the ego, or you have to at least diminish its reign. And this verse teaches us how to give this treatment to our self-inflated conception of ourselves. Now, it's very, very interesting to note that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, throughout his being here on this planet, would consistently give a verse, give teachings about humility. He would always instruct the content of this verse to all the devotees which he would teach. I have picked out two devotees today. One is Raghunath Das Goswami, and the other will still remain in hiding because he is extremely humble. I will talk about him when we are at that place. Raghunath Das Goswami, many of you know, is the Prayojana Acharya, that is the teacher who teaches about the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness. And he came once to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for very specific instructions how he should develop love of Godhead, how this prayojana, this ultimate goal, can be reached. So Mahaprabhu had earlier deferred or directed Raghunath Das Goswami to the shelter of Swarup Damodar, and he said, well, please learn from him, but since you have approached me for specific instructions, I will give you instructions which Swarup Damodar will elaborate upon. And now he gives eight instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami, and you will see the main focus of this instruction will be what we have learned in the Srinarapi Shloka. He says, Gramya katana shunibe, gramya vatana kahibe, balana kaibe ara balana paribe, amani maradahana krishna nama sadalabe, prajaradha krishna seva manase karibe. He says, first of all, watch your tongue. Do not talk like people in general or hear what they say. No gramya katha and no listening to gramya katha. You should not eat very palatable food. Nor should you dress very nicely. Do not expect anna. No expectation of anna. But offer all respects to others. Do you recognize these instructions? Always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna and within your mind render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So, in these instructions to honor others and not expect glorification for ourselves, this is a consistent instruction which is also given when in our society we say higher instructions are, or higher things are talked about. I don't know exactly how we express it. It is a foundation of any type of engagement in Krishna consciousness, either for the beginner or for the most highly advanced Vaishnav who gets instructions on serving Radha and Krishna directly. That Trinadapi, or this feeling oneself humble, is absolutely required from beginning to the end of the journey. According to psychology, our ego is like a balloon which constantly which leaks and constantly wants to be inflated by being by receiving anna. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to deflate that balloon. In spiritual life, you want to deflate it. And therefore now, let us go through the elements of this teaching. First of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions humility like that of the grass. And he explains what he means with this. He says, although one is very exalted, a humble person thinks himself to be lower than a blade of grass. According to our teachings, we can be think we are exalted because of our high birth. you know, that is the way our family is positioned in society. We can think we are exalted because of our wealth. We have money at our disposal, therefore some amount of control. We think we are exalted due to knowledge. We know better than others, we think, and that makes us superior. That's what a pride person thinks. And also we think we are better than others because of beauty. Our charisma, our effulgence, our physical attributes. Thank you. But in Krishna consciousness, listen to this, you can also cheat yourself by thinking something else makes you exalted. See, no one of us is extremely wealthy, except this brahmachari next to me. or I don't know, maybe we have a few from royal dynasties, but mostly not. Knowledge, well, sometimes we think we know a few shlokas, and that makes us superior. Beauty, I don't know, we hear so much, we are not the body that... I don't know if anyone is proud because of his beauty. Maybe that person should raise the hand. No, I'm joking. No one would. But you know what we can be proud of is our achievements on the spiritual path. We can be, and that is often seen in spiritual societies, that one thinks, oh, well, I have bhakti, something is there. I mean, if I objectively judge my case, I'm already 40 years into this. You know, something is there. All this, being proud of this, is not serving us to chant in a way. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says someone who has prema thinks he has none. I think this is a very interesting thing. You should become suspicious if you hear someone being advertised as the prema bhakti. You should think maybe, I mean, if he tolerates that his followers call him Mr. Prema Bhakti, maybe there's something where this exalted devotee has still to learn. Maybe it's, but then refrain yourself from judging anyone. According to the standard, someone who really has got it, he really thinks in his heart, and it's not a ruse, a trick, a cheating. He really thinks he doesn't have it, because prema is only there when someone feels dainya. Dainya is this feeling of wretchedness. It just, prema never is there when someone is proud. Even not if someone is proud that I have bhakti or prema. It just doesn't come like this. The disciples of Srila Prabhupada like to remember Srila Prabhupada, who was, of course, when he was preaching, he was like a lion. My God, and when he was angry on you, oh, that was really an experience. I mean, I saw Prabhupada once in Amsterdam really getting angry before the cameras of the world. He didn't care. He wanted to chastise his devotees, and it was the energy which came from him, the you know, when Prabhupada was really intense, his upper lip would quiver a little bit. And then he didn't need to speak any longer. You got the energy, you know. And because I'm, you know, in Germany we had two camps of bhaktas, the Nishinga bhakta, and I was categorized a Govinda bhakta. So So it was just so intense, my dear devotees, that I was really hiding in the kitchen, and there were a few of us hiding in the kitchen, and we put pots before us to not melt in the radiation from Prabhupada's intense mood, you know. But this he applied for preaching. Or he was sometimes temperamental, but his mood was really of intense humility. And we like to tell such stories. Aravinda Swarup Prabhu tells the story that when all the devotees went to the airport to see Prabhupada off, the waiting lounge for the flight was totally congested with non-flying devotees. They didn't have a ticket or a boarding card, but they had somehow leaked into the departure lounge, you know. So the airport personnel had to really checked what was going on, and then they made an announcement because the people who were actually on the flight with Srila Prabhupada needed to go into the departure lounge, which was occupied by the Hare Krishna devotees who wanted to relish the remaining minutes they had with Prabhupada. So then the airport officials said, everyone in the lounge of flight so-and-so, get up and make room. You know, the first one who got up was Prabhupada. It was he didn't think his disciples should move. He thought, I'm a devotee, I should move. Shivananda Prabhu, my godbrother of mine, remembers how Prabhupada told him one day on Ekadasi, please pray for me, I'm really fallen. And Shivananda, then after he caught his wits, I think this is how you say in English, he said, Prabhupada, I don't think it will work. If I pray for you, it won't work. And then Prabhupada said so sweetly, no, you are a devotee. Krishna will listen to you. Please pray for me. You know, what an expression. So the devotee will think in this mood, the blade of grass is low, but it can be used at least in go-seva. You can serve the cows, or you can build the roof of a bhakta. But I'm useless. I am not at all useful in the seva to anyone. This is how a devotee with dainya, which humility feels. And once again, I really want to say, he feels like this. Sometimes we say, so-and-so assumes the role of an ordinary person and now he talks like this. Prabhus, let us not rob the genuine feelings from a Vaishnava. This is how a Vaishnava feels. It's not a trick in order to teach the others, but he really is above this. No, he does feel this humility. And you will now, let's now see how he feels it, because you can all check, you can all, you know, we can all be humble in words, but to really feel humble, oh, that's not so easy. I can say to all of you, I'm fallen and I'm useless. You know, because I'm giving a lecture on these subjects, and maybe some of you will believe it even if I say it really sincerely. But do I actually feel it? If I feel that I'm humble, you can test me. And Mahaprabhu talks about this test. You may be able to say you are humble, but to really feel it, you must display tolerance. You can fake humility, but you can't fake tolerance. Now he says what type of tolerance he thinks of. First, the tolerance has two aspects. First of all, someone who is tolerant does not protest. And the second thing is, even though some people may hurt him, the tolerant person, he continues to be compassionate and give and serve. This is what tolerance means. Two things. No protest. Ah, you stepped on my toe. And the second is, he doesn't become mental and say, okay, I'm going. I don't serve anyone any longer. This is too much. Let us listen to Mahaprabhu. A tree does not protest when felled, nor does he request for water when thirsty. This is how tolerant a Vaishnava is. Even when someone hurts him, he does not retaliate, but on the other hand, he's compassionate like a tree. That means a Vaishnava gives shelter, just like a tree who gives shelter from heat and rain, and supplies others with the fruits of Krishna consciousness. I really think of Prabhupada, how much he was hurt by his disciples. You can't believe. Prabhupada was so much disappointed with us. Oh, he would say, you are only good for sex life and for quarreling, you know. And he said, Prabhupada said, when he was exasperated, you know, when he saw another failure, he just said, Krishna didn't send me any first class men, you know. But that was when Prabhupada's temperament, which I think we should not also deny a great soul, came out. He would quickly catch himself and be, and would not talk like this to us the whole time. He would praise us. Oh, you are all pure devotees. and he would try to educate and help us in all possible ways. So, tolerant. And I think all of us in our lives are put to test here in the tolerance department. You can always say you're very, I'm very fallen. That's so easy. But to be tolerant, to not protest, when, let's say it in German language, if someone urinates on your leg, German language. And to continue to give shelter, that is where Trinadabhi verse is put to the test. So, Mahaprabhu says, if one chants the holy name in this manner, he talks about two other things: to be respectful to others and respect them. Why can we be respectful to another person? Well, the reason is that Krishna is with the other person. Krishna resides in everyone's heart, and therefore everyone is a temple of God. And just like we bow down when we enter the temple, we are respectful when we enter someone's private sphere in the sense of talking with them or being together with them, giving them company. We offer obeisances just like we offer obeisances as we enter a temple. So, if one chants the holy name in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet. My dear devotees, you cannot be tolerant and humble as long as you identify with the body and mind to be yourself. This comes out very clear in our workshop, and we will make a very fantastic exercise, which I think will, for the rest of our life, detach us from illusion. hopefully. As long as you are identified with the body, the demands of the body will rule you. As long as you are identified with the mind, you will not be able to tolerate things. Only when you can detach yourself from the body and the mind, will it be possible for you to be genuinely humble. Therefore, this verse talks about the exalted state of nishtha. Nishtha means a fixedness in spiritual, on the spiritual platform. That fixedness or steadiness on that platform is the foundation of true humility. See, there are two types of humility talked about in the Shikshastakam prayers. The first type of humility we heard yesterday, it was a humility which arises from feeling remorseful or regretful for one's attachment to the anattas, which keep one from chanting. You know, this humility arises when you actually can see Krishna is so merciful, so unlimitedly high, but I don't take his mercy for some reason or another, and you are remorseful, and you regret that. You did a mistake. But the humility which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about in the third verse, that is another or more advanced type of humility. It is a humility which arises from the soul proper. It's an innate quality of the soul, and as one becomes soulfully advanced, or no, spiritually advanced, I wanted to say, this quality manifests in a very amazing way. This humility becomes really embellished with a total tolerance. I mean, the highest example we can think of is Haridas Thakur, who tolerated the beatings of the of his aggressors and continued to pray for them. Krishna, these people cane me over these marketplaces, but please show them your mercy. Please, you know, this is tolerance like that of a tree. He didn't protest, and he continued to be compassionate and merciful. Because he was oblivious to this. He was fixed on a spiritual steady platform where he didn't take so much notice of it. I remembered Srila Prabhupada, what, you know, the way he dealt with his dental care, you say nowadays, you know, it was amazing. He had a swollen thing here, a swollen cheek, for a time, and we said, wouldn't you like to go to dental care, to the hospital? And he said, no, it will be all right, you know. And then one day the tooth, you know, was fell out, and he just dealt with it very, very matter-of-factly. The tooth is here, you know. It was non-attached to the body. This is a high level, you must admit. I mean, when I even feel the shadow of that something might loosen in the filling on the upper row in the fourth place, then I run to the dentist. You know, I stop everything. I get into an airplane and go to the next. It's not so bad, but you know, it's nishtha. Nishtha. We can practice this. Remember how Prabhupada would always tell us Krishna consciousness really starts, the real things start when you are not identified with the body. Do you remember how often he said, you're not the body, you're the soul? Do you remember? It seems to be an important point. It was repeated consistently. So Trinadapi is something which cannot be easily imitated, but it can be practiced. This morning we will remind you of your complaint-free rubber band, which is nothing else than a little practice to practice tolerance. I applied it yesterday. I was dissatisfied with one thing, and I began to say, I had to change my rubber band. because as I was doing it, I was thinking, oh my God, why was I deceived into criticizing or voicing concern or discontent? I was not thinking I'm a soul, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. What does it matter? Egal, we say in German, doesn't matter, I was on the bodily and mental platform again. And it was embarrassing to me. I was preparing for this lecture and here I did this very embarrassing mistake and so on. There is an example I would like to talk about, which is exemplifying this type of humility. It's the Brahmachari Shuklambara. Shuklambara, thus Brahmachari, is mentioned here. He is one member of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The 16th branch, Shuklambara Brahmachari, was very fortunate because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jokingly or seriously begged food from him or sometimes snatched it from him forcibly and ate it. So Shuklambara Brahmachari was a very humble soul, a very exalted soul. He lived at the banks of the Ganga in a little a little hut which was made from little reeds, and then it was thatched. It had a leaf roof to it. It was extremely simple. A wind gust could take it away. And he chanted all day the holy name. For his food, he took to the very simple profession of madukari. Madukari means you beg at people's house for your food. And, that makes you really humble. Usually this type of food which you take from others is considered to be impure because you don't know how they have prepared it and so on. But in Vaishnava circles, to beg for food, when you take begged food or madukari food, this food is considered to be pure. Do I say it right? Pure. Yes, not poor. Pure. Because you consider Krishna has given me the food. When we went on Sankirtan, we heard about this practice and our leader said, okay, we won't spend any money on food any longer, we go for madukari. And for 1 year we did this practice, and I'm very, very happy that I did it in my life, because yes, I do have this problem with ego. And when you come to someone's house and you're really hungry, like we were really brahmacharis hungry, we were used to 10 kilos of halava per seat is sitting, but on Sankirtan, no halava, nothing. And we were just so hungry, you can't believe it. And then the begging session was in the evening after Sankirtan was over. you know, the German Sankirtan Party was once the leaders of the world because we were very austere and we were called the Hansa Panzers, you know, means very strong. We would take cold showers in the winter. We were really something else, you know, and so we were hungry. And I remember I was very young. I joined in a very young age, I went to the house and said, I'm sorry, but I'm so hungry. Please give me something to eat. I'm really at the end of my nerves. Please. And then the Germans, you know, when you come like this to a house, they think you are a criminal or something. So they just shut the door. And, oh no, how much longer? Then I noticed I had to be more humble. Again, you! You think I'm a criminal? I'm not. I'm a book distributor. Here are the books. Please, I'm just very hungry. I don't know if I make it to the next door. And they look, then they look at you. Are you real? Or and when they found out we were real. Come in, come in, come in. And then they would sit you down, and then they would say, so what do you want? What do you have? And then the problem started. We have bread. With eggs or without eggs? We don't know. We got it from the baker. I mean, he knows. Okay, better not take a risk. Do you have peanuts? Mm-mm. Oh yes, from the last party we have remnants of peanuts, you know. Okay, some raisins please on top of the peanuts, and then for better digestion. And then the whole household was running, I remember, because this was for real. And it made you just so humble. Then we offered it, and then we ate it, you know. Sometimes I feared bringing what I have begged down to the car because I thought maybe they were this unsuccessful, and then we have to divide a handful of peanuts. So as you do this practice of begging, I don't know if you have ever done it. It's very good, you know, for education. I'm not saying that you should do it because otherwise I'm criticized by the GBC. It's not a policy of ISKCON, but it's a traditional practice. So if you beg, if you put yourself in the role of a dependent beggar, you just start to pray to Krishna, please take care. And when you are taken care, you always think Krishna did it. This is what happens when you go in the humble mood. You become really related to Krishna, and you really become connected to Krishna. So Shuklambara Das Brahmachari was walking and begging for his food, and he would usually get very bad things, you know, broken rice and so on. And he had a bag, and he put it all in a bag, and then he went home. So once he passed Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who was sitting there and chanting. And Shuklambara was also chanting. He chanted, Jai Krishna Gopal Govinda Vanamali. And he had this begging bowl, and he passed Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Jai Krishna Gopal. Mahaprabhu was sitting in a trance. So beautiful. And Shuklambara knew or felt something, this my Lord. And he just very carefully, to not disturb, passed. All of a sudden, Gauranga Mahaprabhu jumps up, and as Prabhupada here says, jokingly or seriously begged food for him, or sometimes snatched it from him forcibly. Gauranga Mahaprabhu went with his hand this one time into his begging bowl where there was any, you know, there were peanuts and chickpeas, you know, and rice, and it was not even cooked, and he just took it and he ate it. Shukambara said, "My Lord, don't do this. In the Vedas it is said that you only eat pure food which is offered to you by pure brahmanas who chant pure Vedic hymns. But you are destroying me now by taking impure food from an impure person like me and eating it. Please don't do it. You are ruining me." Then Gauranga Mahaprabhu answered, "Listen, O Shuklambara. I really only take food from my devotees. Remember, I went to Vidura, who was a Shudra, not a Brahmana. And I ate food in his house. Remember? I eat with relish only from devotees. I never eat the food cooked by non-devotees. Give me more." And he ate. Then there was one other visit which Mahaprabhu did. He visited Shukambara many times, and we know of a few times from the scriptures. And during this visit, which is particularly of importance to us here, the Lord gave Shuklambara instructions how he should chant. He said, "To chant the holy name always," I think you will recognize this instruction, "one should be humbler than the grass in the street and devoid of all desire for personal honor. But, on the other hand, one should offer others all respectful obeisances." "A devotee," Mahaprabhu continued, "engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance," this is something like tolerance, "like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, he should not say anything to others to retaliate. For even if one cuts a tree, it never protests, and even if it is drying up and dying, it does not ask anyone for water. Thus a Vaishnava should not ask anything from anyone else. If someone gives him something without being asked, he should accept it. But if nothing comes, a Vaishnava should be satisfied to eat whatever vegetables and fruits are easily available." And then Mahaprabhu speaks this verse, "Trinadapi sunichena taro iva sahishnuna amanina manadena taniya sadahari." So when Krishnadas Kaviraj, he writes this down. You can imagine Krishnadas Kaviraj, an older Vaishnav, he must have been... He was very old at that time when he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, "My eyes are not properly seeing and my limbs are trembling." But although his limbs trembled, he went out of style here in the book. He says, "Raising my hands, I declare, everyone, please hear me. No one sleeps now. Everyone, please hear me. This is raising my hands. I'm saying something. Here, look, look, look. Be attentive. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance." You should always have it with you. Like you have your neck beads with you, you have that verse with you in your life. Because this verse is the only medicine which can help you to cure this durdevam, this unfortunate situation in your life. This durdevam, where you can't make use of Krishna consciousness. And remember, please now don't imitate, pretend, but start to practice tolerance. There is where you can start. Just practice tolerance. When you are crossed, when people step on your toes, when they hurt you, or just when the weather is not so good, and so on. Don't become a good weather devotee who only is dependent on external circumstances. You have to practice tolerance. Start in your relationships, because relationships are the places where we are most easily irritated. Because it is in relationships where we have the highest of expectations. And so often we are not fulfilled in our plans, you know. Krishna often teaches us through the Vaishnavas. And there it is where you have to practice. There is where you have to start. And from there, from practicing tolerance, the real humility will arise. And I'm thinking now of the humility of the soul. Have you sometimes seen people who are falsely tolerant? Not falsely humble? And have you noticed how it annoys you when they speak, "I'm your servant, Prabhu," and then you say, "Could you kindly..." No, I'm busy, you know. "Acha, very good servant." Sorry, Maharaj. It's, you know, so many come, especially when you are a Maharaj and you have the stress, "I'm your servant." And you just only need to wait exactly 30 seconds and then you ask them something and then you know. And they feel often shocked when they say, you are very observative." No, I'm 40 years in this, you know. And so on. Or someone, "There was no hot water left for me in the shower." He's not a humble soul. He's on the bodily platform and the mental platform. He should not be judged for this. But, practice tolerance. You can't fake on tolerance, you know. You can practice there. Start practice there, and you will see you will arise on the spiritual platform. This means you should be a little bit. You should be willing to accept a few austerities for your spiritual life. Austerities is rising early for your spiritual life. Eating less or eating the right amount so that you are not all the time digesting from morning till evening, but you have energy left for something else. A little austerity in dealing with others, where you are kind and compassionate, even though you don't feel like this. These are some good practices if you really want to become spiritually advanced and approach the platform of soul humility, not tongue humility. That is a very good practice. It's very useful. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati he liked the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur very, very much. And he said once that he encourages the devotees to read these song collections of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, as you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a very strong teacher, and he used to say that we should, beat our ego a little bit. Every morning we should take a broom, how was it, a broom, and in the evening a shoe. Chook, 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 chook. You know, when you really want to hurt someone's ego, you take a shoe and you beat it on someone's head. I remember there was once one ISKCON leader who did it to another ISKCON leader. He had his wife, Indian style, beat the poor with a shoe, because that's the ultimate form of showing someone you are worth nothing. You are beating with a shoe. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he takes this principle. You take a broom in the morning for your ego and a shoe in the evening for your ego. And the way you do it now, sometimes in ISKCON, I saw in Germany, at least in Germany, we are very creative, it seems. someone really doing it. Hare Krishna. Yes, don't speculate, he said, Sachinandan Swami. This is what you should do. Hare Krishna. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggested a song to do it. He said the devotee should be remorseful by singing the song Amara Jivana, and we will just sing it. It says, in my life I have always been engaged in sinful activities. I have not shown any tendency to engage in good works. I have been a source of great anxiety to others, and I have given distress to so many creatures. You know, it's remorse. Oh, I did so many wrong things, huh? Amara jivan sada papirata nahi ko punyera lesh. Amara jivan sada papirata nahi ko punyera lesh. Pare re udvega diya chiye koto, kare re udvega diya chiye koto, pare re udvega diya chiye koto. Diyache jive rakhle, diyache jive rakhle. For the sake of my own selfish happiness, I have no fear. What is happening with the music? For the sake of my own selfish happiness, I have no fear of committing sin. I'm utterly devoid of compassion. I'm entirely selfish. I'm always lying. Others' happiness makes me sad, while their suffering brings me great delight. Oh no! Nija sukha lage pape no ne nija sukha lage pape nahi dore. Doya hina svata para nija sukha lagi pape nahi dori. Doya hina svata para para suke duki sadamitya bashi. Para dukha sukha kara. Unlimited material desires fill my heart. I'm full of anger and puffed up with false ego. Or I'm always intoxicated with false pride and hypnotized by material sense objects. My ornaments are pride and envy.
Ashesha kamana vidi maje mora kodidamba parayana. Mana mata sada vishaya mohita. Jingsa gharva vibhushana. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, it does, I'm sorry, it, I'm very, I'm trying to be musical, but it doesn't work so well. These are some of the laments of someone who has humility. It's a very, you could say, in one sense, it may be, the word we use in modern language is self-deprecating, also selbstabwertend in Deutsch. Self-deprecating, yeah. But and we find this a little objectionable in our culture, our Western culture. We find it dangerous because we know we Westerners have this insecurity problem. We really are insecure and we never are sure. Am I on the correct path and so on, but we have it in a sense of self absorption. You know, we are too much in our own head, and so on. Not in a good way, you know. Not in a self analytical way, but we just so obsessed with thoughts of us, and we are insecure. It really brings a lot of insecurity. We are talking here about something else. We are talking on the platform that you understand I'm a part and parcel of Krishna, and I made a mistake, my Lord, by separating from you. And look what I have as a result. I'm ornamented with envy and anger. I'm so intolerant of others' happiness. I think I should be happy and they should be sad like me. And then a devotee goes from this mood and says, Krishna, you are so unlimitedly merciful. And my dear devotees, there is this secret. When you feel yourself humble, you often get the mercy of Krishna. Maybe some of you have seen in their lives, sometimes Krishna arranges the circumstances of our lives in such a way that we really feel useless. We wake up for a moment and we understand, oh yeah, I am fallen and I'm really not what I would like. What my mind would like to project onto me. I'm a soul, a lost soul, really. I'm in an unfavorable environment at the moment. My immediate environment is occupied by six enemies: anger, lust, greed, illusion. I'm in enemy territory, and they have control over me. They have control over me. And that pains the heart. The greatest pain for a genuine devotee is when he sees I still have material desires. This is painful. This is not nice. he feels. And from that genuine recognition of one's fallen nature, Krishna immediately exalts such a devotee. In some ways, he's like that. He's so merciful. He wants us to come to this point, and therefore this humility is the starting point of spiritual life. But humility which comes from the soul, which is not a psychopathological behavioral or mental thing, you know, which is something which comes from the recognition, I'm part of you, Krishna, and look what has become out of me. Like this. And when the devotee is like this, therefore, then Krishna is with him. Therefore, Mahaprabhu always chose such humble devotees as doing important work, like Haridas Thakur. Or here, when he came back from his initiation in Gaya, he went into the house of Shuklambara in order to speak with the devotees. In that little thatched house at the bank of the Ganga, you know, where poor man's house really externally, and he talked there because in that mood of in the humble soul's mood, there is the real treasure of Krishna bhakti to be found. So this is the verse Trinadapi, which we will talk about in the workshop and give some very, very nice exercise. We worked really till late in the night yesterday to put the thing together for today's workshop. I hope you will get something out of it. But let me end this class by just encouraging you, practice humility by practicing tolerance. You can practice tolerance. And, you know, this little thing, is it still here? Yeah. This little thing is just a little, it's even childlike, you know, it's a little thing to practice this. I recommend you do this during the retreat, but don't do it, you know, always. It looks so unesthetic also. But for here, it is something which you can really practice tolerance. So if you don't need these external reminders, and that is good, you know, don't make yourself dependent on external reminders, but practice tolerance, and you will see how this retreat becomes for you something which is tremendously beneficial. All right. I have gone a little bit over time. I know I don't leave enough time for questions, but today on the workshop we will have a question and answer session. So please, if you have questions, keep them. For now, I want to release you. Take your prasadam to your full nourishment. Hare Krishna!